going to finish the four-part message on Christ is. If you haven't been here through the month, the church at Corinth was not what you'd call a model church. In fact, they were backslidden. Paul had to reprimand because there were factions in the church divisions. And some chose Peter, liked him better than Paul. Others said, I like Paul. And others said, well, I like to listen to Apollos. And Paul rebuked him for that. And he said, you know, I wasn't crucified for you. And then he said, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you, or you may have said I did it in my own name. Then they had questions about what they could and could not eat. Was it okay to go to the idol's temple when they'd have a dinner there and they were invited? They had speakers coming in. Paul called them super apostles. Paul didn't charge the Corinthians when he was there. He and Apollos stayed there a year and a half, and he didn't charge them for his teaching, and the Greeks thought that was pretty lame. You know, if a man was worth his salt, why, you had to pay him good money to teach, and Paul didn't. He said, I worked among you. He was a tent maker. So he said, I worked during the day and I preached at night. And he said, I did that to teach you how to be self-sufficient. Well, these teachers who come in, they were teaching Greek philosophy and Jewish heresy. And the church was just having a time. Paul called them carnal. And that simply meant you're unspiritual. He said, you're not being led by the Spirit of Christ. And men were coming in with these attractive doctrines that they liked what they were hearing, and they were pulling away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Pastor Paul sat down to this epistle and lined some things out. And we're going to talk today about Christ is our wisdom. The text is 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, and then verses 30 and 31. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word, which never returns to you empty, but it does exactly what you send it out to do. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom you have left here to teach us the truth and to guide us in the paths of righteousness. Lord, I thank you for your love that you have for this sinful world, and that you especially are reaching out for sinners. And you wish for them to convert, become your children, that they may spend eternity with you. I pray today, if anyone's here who does not know you, or who has never called upon your name, Lord, for salvation, that today would be a day of salvation for them. Bless those who are not here, who cannot be here for health reasons or other reasons. Bless those among us who are hurting. And Lord, especially those who are fighting spiritual battles, I pray they will be encouraged by this message today. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul said the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Paul said to the Jew, the idea of having a Messiah who was crucified was a stumbling block, because their Messiah could not die a criminal's death. In fact, they were taught that Messiah wouldn't die. And when Jesus talked about when you lifted up the Son of Man, they said, what do you mean? The law says that Christ will live forever, so who's this Son of Man? And the Greeks did not believe in resurrection. So it was foolish for them to preach about a God in flesh who died and then was raised again. But Paul said to the Jews and the Greeks, who are just silly enough to believe that God saved them by the preaching of what many call foolishness. God, it says in the word, that since the world in wisdom did not know God, God chose by the foolishness of what is preached to save those that would believe. In this chapter, Paul said to the church, you notice how not many noble people are called. Not many famous people are called, but God has chosen the weak things of this earth to confuse the strong, the sickly, if you will, to confound the strong things, the things that the world considers foolishness. It says God has given the gospel of Jesus Christ out to save those who believe. And to the world is foolishness. To the Greeks, you know, we're not going to worship some God who died, but Jesus said, Messiah can't die on the cross. You see, there's within every one of us this desire to earn our salvation. And that's the problem the Jews had. Paul said when Jesus was there, he said they weren't trying to become righteous by faith in Christ. They rejected that. They were trying to become righteous by works. And we've talked about that through this past month. No one will be justified before God by their works or by being a good person. And I've heard that. People say, well, I believe in judgment, but I believe that when I stand before the Lord, if my good outweighs the bad, then I'll go to heaven. Well, I like to give them the example of the Ten Commandments and say, God says you shall not lie. Have you ever lied? Well, yeah, who hasn't? Then you're a liar. God said you shall not commit adultery. Have you ever committed adultery? And I've heard men say, well, no, my wife doesn't care if I look at the menu as long as I take my meals at home. Well, Jesus said if you look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery. Have you ever taken something that wasn't yours? Well, you know, a pencil from work once in a while or a pack of staples, then you're a thief. So let's look at this. You're a lying, fornicating thief. And you hope when you stand before God that he's going to let you into the kingdom of heaven. Because the Bible says if you break one point of the law, you're guilty of the whole law. That's how the law works. So no one will be justified in God's sight by doing good deeds. And it's sad that I have met people that exactly that is their theology. And they're going to be in for a grave disappointment when they stand before God. Jesus spoke these words and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. There's a lot of people, even in the church today, that know God, or know about God, but they don't know him. Jesus, in prayer, before he went to the cross, was praying for his church, then and now. And he said, this is eternal life, that they might know you. The Pharisees studied the scriptures very diligently, and Jesus commended them for that fact. He said, you diligently study the scriptures, and you think in them you have eternal life. But he said, they are the very things that testify about me, but you won't come to me, that you might have eternal life. And I've met people today say, if, you know, are you a Christian? Well, I read the Bible, well, so does the devil. That doesn't mean anything. You read the Bible. I've had people say, well, I have no understanding the Bible, why I don't read it. Well, I tell you one possibility of that is you're not saved yet. Because my Bible says that the book of God is a spiritually discerned book. In fact, it says the natural man, you and I, apart from having the Spirit of Christ in us, is foolishness to us. When we read God's laws and read God's commandments towards us, it makes no sense. Like, love your enemies, pray for those who use you and persecute you. That doesn't make any sense. Jesus said, if you love only the people that love you, what good's that? He said, even sinners do that. When I was a young Christian, this woman's husband had got a book by Anton LaVey. And it's a book on the Church of Satan and the Satanic Bible. Pardon me for my back, son. And she came and gave it to me because she said, I'm afraid of my husband reading stuff like this. I don't know which direction he'll go. And I read it. And I actually got convicted. Anton LaVey was talking in there about how God is an unfair and unjust God. He said, God tells us if someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him. He said, now God knows that it's within us that we want to retaliate. but he won't allow us to. He says God condemns sex as sin, sex outside of marriage, but he's the one that gave us sexual desires. So they believe God is a hypocrite. God made us with these desires, then condemned these desires, and therefore God is unjust. And the Satanists say we'd rather serve the devil because he knows us who we are and he appreciates us and just takes us as we are. Well, those are false charges against God. God gave us all of our tactile senses. The Greeks taught that the human body was wicked and there wasn't a thing you could do about it. So wicked desires were just part of being a person. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said evil desires come from the heart. The heart is the very center of you, what we might call the soul or the psyche. The Greek word is psyche. And Jesus said that's where evil comes from in a man. It comes from within. That's why it's very important, Christian, especially baby Christians, that you not get into the world's ideology. You need to be reading the Word. Because Jesus said, whatever you put in you in abundance is what's going to come out. And, you know, I've tested that, and it's true. Whatever you put in is what's going to come out. If you sit around watching soaps all day, or reading Leland Moore Westerns all day, and you never crack the Word of God, don't be surprised when you start acting like the rest of the world. Or we'll stay in the worldly books and the worldly television, and then when spiritual warfare comes up, we're unarmed. And we go, wow, where'd that come from? When you get out of the will of God and get into the enemy's territory, he's going to try to kill you. Okay? These people were being told by the cultists, we have wisdom to sell you. We can teach you how to be righteous by your diet. If you need to know God, if you want to know God, you have to learn about through wisdom, and eternal life is gained through wisdom. And men still do that today. I don't need some preacher at church telling me how to live. I've got my mind made up. I'm going to live as good a life as I can, and I'll go to heaven. Is that what the Word says? I remember a guy told me one time, he said, I believe in the same Jesus you do. But I don't believe that you have to be a radical Christian and go to church every Sunday to be saved. I said, neither do I. Well, he said, I ain't going to church and having condemned my beer and my cigarettes. I said, well, come into this church. I won't condemn your beer and your cigarettes, but the Holy Spirit probably will. You get to get closer to God, he'll open your eyes and say, you need to get rid of that trash. He said, well, I believe there's many ways to get to God. I said, wait a minute, I got a problem with that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And he looked at me and said, well, I know he said that. I said, then either he's lying or you are. So Jesus said he was the only way to get to God. You're saying there's other paths to get to him. And I said, I'll take Jesus' word over yours. And he said, this conversation's over. That's the wisdom of the world. The world says, well, you can get to know God. God's in the trees, God's in the birds, God's in the flowers. You know, deism. Everything's God. So you can get to know about God through nature. That's not what the scriptures say. You remember what Jesus said? That they might know you, the only true God. That's life eternal. What is eternal life? Jesus said to know God. When you study the Old Testament prophecies, you see the emphasis that God puts on intimacy. In Jeremiah 31, when God says, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel, not like the old covenant I made with their fathers when I brought them out of Egypt, because they wouldn't stay in that covenant. They wouldn't obey me. He said, here's the new covenant. I'm going to write my laws in their minds and in their hearts. He said, I'm going to put my spirit within them, and they shall know me. I told you that Hebrew word know means intimacy. It's like the intimacy but when a husband and wife come together. God says, here's my goal. I want a relationship with you. And too many people don't look at a relationship with Christ as that. They see it as a religion. And I practice my religion on Sunday, and what I do the other 6 days a week is my business. No, if you're entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ, He has to be your life. And when you see that, even in the Old Testament, God wanted His people to be intimate with Him. He wanted them to know Him. This is the dispensation we're in now. Jesus prayed this for His 11, but then He said in the prayer, I'm not just praying for these, but also for everyone who will come to believe in Me through their word. We're still reading the book these guys wrote. We're still coming to Christ on their testimonies. So Jesus, in this prayer, He's praying for you and me. What did He pray? That they might know God. Because He said, this is eternal life. Well, how do you get to know God? Through reading the Bible. Well, if you go to church, you can learn about God. You sure can. You can learn about Him. But you can't know Him. You cannot have an intimate relationship with God except through Jesus Christ. You can read the Bible. You can memorize chapters and books of the Bible if you will. But that does not make you a Christian. It does not give you a relationship with God. Remember, the Pharisees did that, and Jesus said, you refuse to come to Me. He said, you guys are reading the book, but you don't get it. Why don't you get it? Because it's spiritually discerned. Because the Pharisees already set their minds that they were righteous with God. They were Abraham's children. They'd been circumcised, and they had the law. And yet Jesus would rebuke them and say, which one of you can keep the law? And He said, which one of you can convict Me of sin? And if you can't convict Me of sin, then why are you going to kill Me? They said, oh, you got a demon. Who's going to kill you? Jesus said, you are. You are who profess to be people of God and profess to know God. The Jews He was teaching one day, He said, many of them believed in Him. And Jesus said to those who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And before this was over, the ones that believed in Him called Him demon-possessed. They said, you're just demon-possessed. Just a few minutes ago, they said they believed in Him. Today, why, the church has run after them and say, here, sign this little card here, and you're a Christian. You believe in Jesus, that makes you a Christian. Well, James said even the demons believe in Jesus. That doesn't make them saved. The Greek were telling, you want to know God? Didn't teach you how to know God for $39.95. Just buy our book, Knowing God. You know, you can go to CTO and Mardell's, and they got shelves full of books. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not against Christian authors, but this is the book you better be reading. This book has words of life. It has everything you need to know about life, about how to conduct yourself, about how to come to God. This word should lead you to Christ. And when you come to Christ and you submit your life to Him and He enters you through the Holy Spirit, He promised, He said, Father, I have revealed You to these men. And He said, I'll continue revealing You. When did that stop? It never has. That's a promise to the child of God. Jesus said, I will reveal the Father. Paul calls Him our wisdom. Jesus prayed, O righteous Father, the world has not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and that these have known that Thou hast sent Me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them. So Jesus said, I'm going to declare Your name to these people so that My love will be in them and Your love will be in them. He said, the love that I've declared to them, the love of God will be in them. Well, how does that happen? It says in Romans chapter 5 that hope is not ashamed because God has poured His love into our hearts through the Holy Ghost. Do you know the love of God is in you? If you are a child of God, if you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, God's love is in you. You don't need to pray and say, God, fill me with Your love. He's already done it. Then why are so many Christians unloving? Because the flesh and the Holy Spirit are constantly fighting with one another. And he's trying to get us to love the way God does, and we're so hung up on self that I'm going to love me first, thank you. Paul said, count other people better than yourself. Well, that's pretty good in theory, but that don't work. You know, people cut in front of you in line or cut you off in traffic. I don't sound very lovely when I'm by myself. I question their sensibilities. Maybe your kids will be smart. I don't know. You know, my God, you drive like that, when do you live this long? Paul said, Christians should prefer that others be served ahead of them. That's the love of God. There are many who claim to have it that don't. In fact, if you are selfish and self-centered, that is living proof that you are not loving the way God has told you to love. And you either do not have the Spirit, or you have Him, and you're refusing to obey Him. That's the only way it can be. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. Now, we're talking about Jesus, our wisdom. The world tries in many ways to reveal God or to learn about God. I remember a kid in the Nazarene church coming to me all excited and said, Pastor Rick, I found this article on they figured out the secret codes in the Bible. He said, what do you think of that? I said, it's a bunch of horse hockey. And they're saying that because these are unspiritual men trying to figure out a spiritual book and they can't. I said, young man, it does not take a secret code. You don't have to have a decoder ring. You know the little Dick Tracy decoder ring we used to wear? Yeah. I said, these are unspiritual men trying to figure out a spiritual book, and they don't even know God. I said, the Holy Spirit will teach you that book. He will explain it to you. I've been a Christian 35 years, and it amazes me that I can read passages I've been reading for over 30 years and all of a sudden something new hits me. Wow! I never realized it said that. That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you'll take things that are mine and you'll show me. That's the wisdom. Paul said, Jesus Christ is our wisdom. He's talking to a bunch of backslidden Christians that are listening to these false teachers and they're thinking, well, you know, I can get to God this way. And Paul said, no. You can't be righteous enough. You can't be holy enough. Man has sold himself to sin. When I say man, I mean men and women. Mankind has sold themselves as slaves to sin. God's the one that paid the redemption price and brought us back. God says, you be holy because I'm holy. Then He enables us to be holy through His Holy Spirit whom He places within us if we have actually and honestly come to Christ. The Bible says that no man has seen God except the Son who came from His bosom. He has declared Him. That word bosom in the Greek means the lap. Now that's intimate. He said, the Son came, you can read it as from the lap or the side of the Father. He has revealed God. That's what used to aggravate the religious Jews so much. Jesus said things like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one and the same. Oh, they couldn't handle that. Jesus said to the Pharisees one day, unless you believe I'm the one I claim to be, you're going to die in your sins. There's only one way to have your sins forgiven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't earn forgiveness. You can't do enough acts of penance. You can't try to be good and to override the bad in your past. God knows you're a sinner, but He loves you. God knows that you deserve eternal punishment and separation away from Him, but He still loves you. The Bible says He loved us so much that He gave His Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. Perish is not talking about physical death. Church is talking about eternal death, eternal separation from God. We've been reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing, even as Christians sometimes, that we come to God through faith in Christ. He places His Spirit within us, and we think that it's up to us to figure God out. and we fight with one another in the church because I don't think you know what you're talking about. Well, I think I know you know. That's what's going on in the Corinthian church. Paul said, true wisdom comes through Jesus Christ. Do you want to know the Father? You have to know Jesus. Do you want to be saved? You have to come to Jesus Christ. Those will be the ones who stand before God faultless on the day of judgment. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father and before the holy angels. Imagine that. When I leave this world and I stand before Christ and the holy God, that Jesus will say, I know him, Lord. I know it. He knows me and I know him. The Father said, come on in here. He's not going to say, boy, Rick sure did a lot of good things in your life. Rick used to be a drug man. He quit doing drugs. You know, I was still lost even when I didn't do drugs. I was just an eye center when I was doing my drugs. I didn't care about being a sinner. I was an eye. But there ain't no high like the Holy Ghost. Okay. And I don't mean to be blasphemous or sacrilegious, but there ain't no high like the Holy Ghost. I've been high on him for 35 years, and I ain't come down yet, praise the Lord. And I don't plan on coming down. You can't take that away from me. Now, am I saying this in arrogance or presumption? I don't think I'm smarter than you, no. But I'm saying that Paul is saying to the church, Jesus Christ is our wisdom, and you come to God through him, and you stay in God through him. Keep following him. Paul said, keep in step with the Spirit. Put to death the sins of the body by the Spirit. You do it. Just say no. That sounds too simple. Well, it's not hard. When the Spirit of God is in you, can you live above sin? You sure can, because that God has defeated the power of sin. Jesus defeated them openly on the cross and made a spectacle of them. I like that scripture. Made a spectacle of them. Paul says, if we continue. A lot of times people hear the gospel and they start out following Christ. And then they deviate and they go into something else. They sound better. Well, I like this preacher better. I like that preacher better. Boy, he's a good preacher. He's really fired up. Does he know Jesus Christ? If he doesn't, he's not worth the powder that's blowing away. There are a lot of unspiritual, unsaved men today preaching a different Jesus. And the world's flocking to them because they like what they hear. Oh, you're not a sinner. You don't have a guilty conscience over your past sins. I don't, man. Don't even worry about that. God doesn't hold it against you. God forgives our past when we come to him and give him our future, if you will. We lay that down at the altar and say, Lord, here's my life. I don't know what you can do with this scrambled up mess of mine called a life, but here. And you repent. That means you renounce your sins, you turn your back on, you start calling for what they are. And you have to settle that in your mind, Christian. One of Satan's favorite tools to this day is doubt. And I remember when I first came to Jesus, man, I was a bubbling baby Christian, and I thought I had it really figured out. And did God really mean this when he said this? There was a deacon in the church that I was in when I first came to Christ, and I just loved this guy. I mean, him and I just hooked up. And I asked him one time, I said, do you ever do any jail preaching? Well, no. I said, you want to? Okay. And so I found out when Disney and I was where I went down to the sheriff's office and there stood the sheriff. He said, what in the world are you doing here? I said, I come here to share my faith with these inmates. Took my Bible and thumbed through it, kind of shook it a little bit, you know. He said, you know you're not supposed to bring contraband in here. I said, I don't have any contraband on. You want to search me? No. He said, you know not to take messages from them and call people and contact them. I said, yes, sir, I know that. I said, all I want to share with them is Jesus Christ. We start walking down that catwalk, and Brother Dan goes, have you been here before? I said, yeah, a couple times. And so his inmate said, hey, man, I ain't seen you in a while. Rick, what are you up to, dude? He goes, oh, you have been here before. I said, yeah. I was over on the other side. I'm going to tell you something. I started sharing Jesus Christ with those guys, and their mouths just dropped open. You got religion? No, I got Jesus. Big difference. I don't like being called religious. And I sit here Christians go, well, that guy's a very religious guy. Well, that doesn't mean anything to me or God. He wants a relationship, not religion. Religion will kill you. Relationship with God's what gives life. And one of the guys that was in there, I've known him for several years and ran around partied with him. He was in there because the guy stole some pot from him. He took a pair of pliers and started pulling his fingernails out until he'd tell him where the pot was. Well, the law kind of frowns on stuff like that. And he said, well, Rick, I got saved when I was 12, and I still feel it in my heart. And boy, I remember as a baby Christian, I had enough of the Holy Ghost. I thought, something's wrong with this testimony, dude. You're growing marijuana and selling it, and you tore this guy's fingernails out and shot him as he ran from you, and you're telling me that you're still a Christian. Something wrong with this picture. The Holy Spirit will not put up with that kind of conduct in the life of a Christian. Now, I'm not trying to be hard. I'm not saying that following God is keeping a bunch of rules. But what I'm saying is that the love of God that pardons you and I is supposed to be the incentive that we need not to sin. Not that we're worried about going to hell if we do. We're worried about bringing down our Father or dragging His good name through the mud. Paul said to the church, Jesus is our wisdom. He said, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness to him. If you do not have the Spirit of God, Paul says, the things of God are foolishness. But if you have the Spirit of God, Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. We have access to the throne room of grace where we may boldly come anytime we're in need. God loves us. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And God can make us wise because of the blood of Jesus Christ that is shed. He loves you. And if you're here today, and you've never called on His name, I want to assure you of something. He loves you. And He came here to rescue us. Isaiah 61 is one of my most favorite quotes in the Old Testament. Where Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. To open the prison doors to those who are bound. Said in our Jesus said, God has sent me here to set you free. If you want to be free from your past and from the sins of the past. Am I still tempted with sins of my past? Yeah. I didn't get a free card, never be tempted again, but I'll tell you what, I have a power within me that is strong when I'm weak, and it's the power of Jesus Christ. That's what He said to Paul. Paul said, three times, I beg the Lord, take this away from me, and He said, no. You need that. And he said, you need to understand, Paul, that at your weakest point, that's when I'm the strongest. Jesus Christ is our wisdom. You cannot know God except through Jesus. I'm going to close with a passage from Matthew. Jesus said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. That's pretty cut and dry. Jesus said, you cannot know God any other way than me when I choose to reveal him to you. You can't know me unless the Father who sent me draws you. Wow. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. A yoke was what they called the teaching of the rabbi. And to take that rabbi's yoke on meant you became his disciple, and that was the yoke that you bore. And Jesus said, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. You're burned out. You're frustrated. I've tried. Nothing works. He said, come to me and take my yoke. Take my teaching on you. He said, my teaching's easy. He's borne all the burden for us, church. He's paid for our redemption in full. Christ paid in full. I don't owe God anything but to live for him in obedience and to follow him. My salvation isn't on a payment plan. All the premium's been paid. Somebody asked me a while back, do preachers make much money? I said, no, but boy, what a retirement policy we got. And that goes for any Christian, anyone who's following Christ, what a retirement we have. Eternal life. Would you stand with me this morning? Paul was talking to a backslidden church, and he's trying to bring him back to the fact that Jesus Christ is the very center of the Christian life. And I've told the young people this, Jesus doesn't want to be part of your life. He doesn't want to be a big part of your life. He says, I have to be the source, the life source. And he says that he will give that to anyone who will come to him. If you've never come to Christ this morning, come up here and sit down in the front. And if you want to stay here at the church, I'll visit with you. If you're here this morning and you're backslidden, you know who you are if you are backslidden. Remember what the Lord said, let the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn to me, and I will pardon him. God's a merciful, just God. Will you come as we sing the song of invitation, please? Thank you. wonderful prayer request here. Has to be praying for Gina Swisher. She's in the hospital with ulcer problems. And if you've ever had them, you know how miserable that is. So be in prayer for Gina. Also, Jared asked that we remember that the students at Central Christian College of the Bible, some of them are going on an outreach. This week trip that they take, they're going to Ecuador, Japan, Athens, Sweden, Ireland, South Dakota. So be praying for these students that are going on this outreach program. I envy them for that. Any other requests you want to make known?
Remember Karen and Paul Mayberry.
No. Okay, be praying. Praying for Deanna, she goes to have her blood work done. Or make sure the liver's okay. Anyone else? All right, Brother Mark is sick and Mary, that's why they're not here. So, the ones that have been coming to Mark's class, if you'll come back tonight at 6, we're going to take up on sanctification where we left off. If you don't have your lesson from the last time, don't worry, I'll run off more copies. Brother Gary has the young adults class tonight at 6. Can at all, please come and be part of that. John, oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'll ask you to close with some prayer then, please.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can come here and worship you without harm or without persecution. We thank you for this country we live in and the blessings that you have seen to bestow on this country. We ask that you will lead us and help us to show Christ and to just influence the government in whatever way we can to keep this a Christian nation. We pray this morning for those that have been mentioned. We ask that you would draw near and comfort them, that you would give them strength. We ask now that you go with us as we make our way out of this building, that you would keep us safe in your hands. In Jesus Christ we ask. Amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and celebrate. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, I will rejoice and celebrate. Yes, I will rejoice and celebrate.